Good morning. Welcome to our worship service this morning in Jesus' name. It's good to be gathered in God's house on such a beautiful spring morning. We're glad to be here, and we are excited for what God has for us in this time this morning. It's always good when we meet God and to know that we serve a God who is faithful to us and one who loves to shower us with his very good and gracious gifts. And so we're looking forward to that and all he has for us. I want to share a special welcome today to several people. Number one, the first group would be our mothers. So I better not forget to say Happy Mother's Day today, right? That would be a good thing to do, and the rest of you better not forget that either when you have your chances. So my next trick will be to call Mom here too later today. But we're glad for you mothers and thankful that you could be here to enjoy this very special day with us. We are grateful today for a new mother also, and we're going to be baptizing little Julia Brown, daughter of Skylar and Kaylin Brown, and looking forward to that. A special welcome to your immediate and extended family, I guess is the way to say it. Glad you guys could be here with us today also. Be sure to greet them after the service if you get a chance. And then want to just quick mention too, Stephanie Patenholt's parents are here, the Halls, and they're here to check up on their son-in-law to make sure he's not screwing up too bad. He's doing okay so far. All the way from Ohio, they are here to visit with us, and we're happy that you guys could be here today, too. Thanks for coming. You can see that we've got our schedule for the week in the announcements section of your bulletin. Want to just highlight a few things for you quickly. Stick around after the service for coffee and cookies, as usual. Would love to have you there. I know many of you have plans to head out, I'm sure, too, for Mother's Day. But if you're able, we'd love to have you stick around for that time of fellowship. Wednesday now, you can see our Wednesday schedule has been pared down. There's no more confirmation or kids club for the summer, and all we have going on then Wednesday is Bible study and youth group. There is a council meeting also for those to whom that pertains, and then Thursday we are starting our softball season as well. This last Thursday we actually started it, and so come out to that. We love fans. We had quite a raucous fan section this last Thursday is maybe the word that I'll use to describe it, and that helped to make things a lot of fun too. And so always feel free to come out and enjoy that time of fellowship on Thursday evenings as well. And then next Sunday is our last Sunday of Sunday school, and so keep that in mind. And then we're also having potluck next week, and so remember that also. Bring something if you're able. If you aren't, we still want you to come, not just to church, but also to the potluck. And so please remember that as well. There is one other scheduling thing. We have volunteer meetings for Vacation Bible School. If you can believe it, we're, I think, 3 weeks out now from VBS starting. And if you are planning to be a volunteer for that, there's two meetings scheduled, May 20th and May 27th, the next two Sundays, and I believe it's after church. Is that right? Yes, okay. So after church, May 20 and May 27, you don't have to come to both. I think it's basically going to be the same meeting both times, but you have an option. You can come to one or the other. So if you're planning to volunteer for VBS, plan to come, if you're able, to one of those two meetings, either next Sunday or the Sunday after, to get some more information about how that's going to be going here for VBS, which starts on June 3rd. There's a table out there for more with more information to sign up your kids or other areas you can volunteer in. So if you're able to do that, even if it's just for part of the week, please take a look at that as well. Some quick prayer requests, prayer of praise. Bob Nestis is here with us and looking better than ever, so we're thankful for that. Thankful he could be here and is out of the hospital, out of the nursing home. And then just want to give a quick update on Ephraim Amiot also, who was this week. They knew he had a heart surgery coming up, but it ended up having to happen this week, and so they flew him down on Thursday afternoon to Mayo, and then the surgery was Friday morning. Sounds like the surgery went very well, and his heart is healing as it should here now, and so they are praising God for that as well. Keep praying for Ephraim and his recovery there too. I think that's all the announcements that I have. Are there any others that I missed that need to be made? And if not, then let's hear our call to worship this morning. It comes from the chapter, Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty expanse. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and praise him according to his excellent greatness, singing our opening hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Please be seated. John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Isaiah 43 tells us, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Let's sing God Leads Us Along.
Children of all.
And Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
going to come up in the sermon a little bit later today is the prayer that Jesus gives that his disciples, that you and I would be kept in his name. The name of Jesus alone is the name that has the power to save. And as we enter into this portion of our worship service now, we humbly come before God and we confess that we don't have the power to save, that only Jesus does. And so we humbly look to him and rest in his unfailing grace. And so let's do that together. Let's confess our sins, acknowledging our need for him and for his forgiveness, for his salvation, and then hear the good news of the gospel as well. You'll find our confession of sins printed in your bulletin. It'll also be on the screen. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. In 1 John, it says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sins. It's my privilege and joy to declare to you today that Almighty God, our Father in heaven, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us. And for his sake, he forgives our sins. We praise him, we thank him, we love him for that. Amen. This time I'm going to call on Nathaniel Olson to read our scripture.
Our first lesson this morning is found in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 15 through 26. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Acts 1, beginning with verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers, the company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture has been fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who allotted his side to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who had accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. And they put forward two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who is also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, 'You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place.' And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles." Second reading is found in 1 John chapter 4, reading verses 13 through 21. 1 John 4, beginning with verse 13. "By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Here ends the reading.
Let's join together in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This time I will call on the ushers to wait upon us. And we're also going to have a special music number here during the offertory given to us, shared with us by Jim and Caleb and Cassie.
We didn't know until later that it was our... when Caleb suggested this hymn that we're going to be singing today, we didn't know until later that it was our mom's favorite hymn, so this makes it extra special today. As parents, and really as any human, we worry a lot, and this song reminds us to rely on God's wisdom day by day.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me, he whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he lays. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me he made. Help me then, every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith, sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meet thee, e'er to take as from a father's hand. One by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Mingling toil with peace and rest.
Father, thank you so much for these gifts. Thank you for each day that you give us, as we were reminded in that beautiful hymn just now. God, we acknowledge that we are in need of you, and we acknowledge that you are good to us. And so we joyfully and confidently wake up each morning ready for the task that you have called us to, whatever that might be. Lord, thank you for this time together. Continue to bless us through this service with your gracious gifts. We pray in your name. Amen. This time, I'm going to call on the Brown family and the sponsors to come up for the baptism. I should have mentioned also here, in lieu of a children's message this morning, if any kids would like a front row seat to come up and watch, there are some open seats up here on both sides, so you can come up and watch if you'd like a closer seat. If not, that's okay too, so we'll call on you at this time also. It is... It's one thing I like to do, not only because it's kind of fun to do, to have the kids up here also, but it's a nice reminder for them in their young age of exactly what this is. And this is a very special time that we are just so excited and thankful to be a part of as a congregation here in little Julia's life. It's been fun to get to know you, Skylar and Kaylin, and are looking forward to continuing to get to know you here as well. And just, again, very excited that we all get to be a part of this very special time here with Julia. Dearly beloved, let us hear the command of our Lord Jesus Christ concerning baptism. It's from Matthew 28. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so very simply, we baptize because Jesus tells us to. And this is how we make disciples. We make disciples by baptizing and by teaching. And then next, let us hear how graciously our Lord Jesus Christ receives little children and opens the door of the kingdom of God for them. This is from Mark 10. And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a child will not enter it at all." And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. And so it is in thankfulness and in faith that we bring our children to the Lord in holy baptism in order that they may share in his blessing, and though they are sinful human beings under the law of sin and death, that they may also become children of God by grace in the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Eternal and almighty God, we thank you that in your church you have instituted baptism in your name. And that in baptism you promise to be our Father and to save us from sin through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Redeemer, and to regenerate and to sanctify us by your Holy Spirit. We receive, we pray, now this child whom we bring before you. Let her receive the eternal blessings of holy baptism. Grant that she may grow up in your church as your child. Let the fear and love of God always be a part of this home. Teach her to fear and to love you, and preserve her from all evil until she shall come unto you in your heavenly kingdom. Amen. And now, some questions to both the parents and the sponsors. First of all, do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? If so, answer, "Yes, I renounce them." And do you believe in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, answer, "Yes, I believe."
Yes, I believe.
And now to the parents. Do you parents desire that this child be baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? If so, answer, we do. And do you promise to instruct this child, Julia, in the word of God and to nurture her in the fear and love of the Lord? If so, answer, we do. May the Lord keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And now, Julia, receive the sign of the cross upon your forehead and upon your chest, that you might believe in the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ. Julia Grace Brown, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has made you his child in holy baptism and has received you into his believing church, strengthen you with his grace unto life everlasting. Amen. Now to the sponsors. You sponsors are now witnesses that this child has been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you promise to encourage the parents of this child in their God-given privilege of raising their child, to pray for them, and to assist Skylar and Kaylin in any way necessary for the spiritual welfare of this child? If so, answer, we do, with the help of God. In the event that the parents of this child are not able to care for her and instruct her in the Christian faith, you have committed yourselves to undertake that responsibility. Do you promise that you will pray for Julia and that you will see that she is given instruction in the Christian faith? If so, answer, we will, with the help of God. May Almighty God bless you and strengthen you in that task. And they are not alone in this. We are together here as witnesses that Julia has been baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And we also are to remember her before God in our prayers, to make certain as far as possible that she is brought up in the Christian faith and fear of God, and that she may abide in Christ from this day forward, even as now through baptism she has been grafted into Christ. We believe that God gives the gift of faith in baptism, and that this gift will be lost unless the child is taught the word of God, upheld by prayer, and given a Christian example to follow. This is first the responsibility of you as parents, and then of the sponsors and of the entire congregation. This is one of the main reasons we are here. It's what we're here for, to encourage one another and to build one another up, all the more as we see the day drawing near. May we be faithful in this responsibility and in this privilege. And it is a privilege, isn't it? Amen. Guys, these are for you guys. Thank you very much. Yeah. And you kids can go and sit down too. Before our message this morning, we're going to sing a beautiful children's hymn. It's one that we are all familiar with, one that you could probably sing with your eyes closed, although we are going to sing all three verses, so you may need to look at the words for those if you don't remember it. I was reminded this morning of an episode that one of you had, and it's one that I'm familiar with too. We think of these children's songs as something that we kind of graduate from, and personally, I believe nothing could be further from the truth. These are beautiful songs and beautiful words that are written that stick with us, as was talked about this morning earlier in a conversation I had, and that I've seen many times, that stick with us even all the way until the other side of this life. When we are growing old and dying, these are the words that we remember. And so this is a beautiful hymn. Let's sing it together. Jesus Loves Me.
As I did, as we sang that song together, it was quite beautiful. How many of you remember dropping your kids off at school for the first time? I think it's pretty difficult for a mom or a dad to do, There's this precious child that you have spent almost every waking moment with for 6+ years, and now you're leaving them in someone else's hands. You're entrusting them to this kindergarten teacher that you hardly know or haven't even met. How will they fare? Will they remember everything you've taught them? Will they obey the rules? Will they make friends? One can't help but feel a little helpless at that moment. I think I've seen quite a few crying mothers at that spot. Or how about when they grow up and you send them off to college? I have yet to experience this. My kids are still young, but I think that has to be even harder. After all, the things that kids get into college are a lot worse than what they can get into in kindergarten. And in college, they're away for not just the day, but for weeks and months at a time. In fact, just this past Friday, I ran into a kid who goes to MSUM, and he was telling me about the temptation at school, and that it's quite real, that the culture of drunkenness is just rampant. I will make a quick shameless plug. This student was also very thankful that he had gone to Bible school, and he roomed with his Bible school roommates, and he was telling me how much of a help that was for him in college to have these godly men to live with and go back to. But to send a kid off to school is a scary thing. And I bet that when you have experienced that, when you've dropped your kid off either at kindergarten or sent them off to college, that you said some serious prayers, that from your heart went up prayers to God asking him to protect your child. That, more or less, scenario is what we have in our text today. Jesus knows what's coming. He's about to be arrested. He knows that his time with his disciples is short, and he knows what the next few days will hold. He's aware that Peter is going to deny him. He knows that nobody is anticipating his resurrection. He has just finished the Lord's Supper, and he spent the last few chapters here in John teaching them and preparing them. But the time has come, and Jesus finishes up this final time with his disciples by praying to his heavenly Father. And it is from this prayer that we get our text this morning. I will read John 17, verses 11 through 19, if you will please rise in honor of God's word. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of this world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of this world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. Dear Lord, these words are your truth, and we pray, Lord, that we would be sanctified and strengthened by these words, Lord, to be challenged, to be encouraged, to be comforted, to be strengthened by these words, Lord. We thank you for your prayer for us. Be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This is Jesus' prayer for preservation. As he leaves his disciples, he knows what's coming, and he cares that they maintain in him. This morning I'm going to focus on three petitions from this prayer. Jesus begins with his first petition. He says, Holy Father, keep them in your name. What does this mean to be in his name? In fact, what even is God's name that it speaks of here? And I think the best place to look, or our most obvious answer to this question, we actually saw demonstrated here this morning. When we look at Christian baptism, we think of the Great Commission, and Jesus' command was to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In fact, that preposition there, when we say baptize in the name of, it'd be better almost, the essence of it is baptizing into the name. And that when we are baptized, we are placed into Christ. We are placed in his name. This morning, if you are a Christian and you have been baptized, that is what happens. You have been baptized into the name of God. But unfortunately, names mean less to us these days than they used to. I confess, I don't even know what half of my children's names mean, because we just picked them because they sound cool for the most part. But you don't need to read very far in the Bible to see that once upon a time, names meant a whole lot more. God was always in the practice of changing people's names, or even declaring beforehand what a person's name was to be. Because for most of time, and even in most cultures, names were not just arbitrary labels that allow us to call someone to dinner. They were meaningful. They were part and parcel of who a person was. It was the essence of who they were. So what then is God's name, we ask? Well, he reveals throughout his word many names for himself. If you leave the sanctuary today, straight ahead as you walk out the door, there's this poster about the names of God, and it shows all these different names. Each one of them is a beautiful illustration of who God is. But ironically, here in this passage, it doesn't give us any specific name. It just talks about his name. And this is not uncommon. John 1:12, it says this beautiful promise. It says, to those who receive him, to those that believe in his name, he gives the right to become the children of God. Arguably, his name is all-encompassing. It's referring to everything that God is. It's a reference to his entire character. In fact, to be in his name, because it's part and parcel of who he is no different than being, or says that there's no other. Romans 8:1. Familiar, beautiful verse says that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. As believers, we aren't just in his name, we are in him. In 2 Corinthians, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Maybe marriage is a good way of helping us to understand this name. When a wife takes a husband, she takes his name. When Stephanie and I got married, she became a Patnode. We became one family. Our children bear the name of their father and mother. They are Patnodes. Stephanie became a part of my family. And as baptized children of God, we take on God's name. It's part of his adoption. We become his children. We are, as baptized believers, sons and daughters of God Almighty. And Christ here is simply praying that God would keep his disciples in his name. He wants them to be safe. He wants them to be preserved. The implication here is that it's possible for people to not stay in his name. Jesus is fearful that some who are in his name may wander off, just as Judas had wandered off and been lost. But this text is good news for us. It shows us that God's will is to preserve those who have been given to him. It's never a father's will that a son or a daughter leave the family. Jesus loves his disciples. He's a good shepherd who loves his sheep. He loves you and he loves me, and he's praying here that we would be preserved in his name. Earlier in John, the same book, Jesus said, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. This is a beautiful promise to us. Nobody can take us away from Christ. No one can snatch you or me out of God's hand. But it breaks my heart to say, the implication here is that some people do wriggle free and run away on their own. And I pray with Christ this morning that you and I would be kept in his name. Jesus' second petition is that we will be kept from the evil one. Jesus sets up this petition by first telling it like it is. If you read verses 13 through 16 with me, it says, "But now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." So Jesus establishes this scenario. He gives us this understanding of the way things are. Those of us who are in Christ, it says, are not of this world. But he acknowledges at the same time that we are in the world. And he even clarified in his prayer that his desire isn't for us to be taken out of the world. So it's where we get this idea that we are in the world, but not of the world. But unfortunately, being in the world, but not of it, puts us at enmity with it. Jesus said, the world has hated them because they are not of this world. Jesus' prayer then for us who are in the world, but not of it, is simply that we be protected from the evil one. It may come as a surprise, but the Bible clearly tells us that the devil is the prince of this world. In 2 Corinthians, it says, the god of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers. If you think back to Palm Sunday when Jesus rode in on the donkey, it was my pleasure to preach that Sunday, and we talked that the Jews had hoped and expected Jesus to establish a kingdom here on earth, but that isn't what they got, is it? They got something much better. Jesus intended to establish a heavenly kingdom, not to rescue them from their earthly rulers, but to rescue them from sin. And so Christ is seated on the throne in his kingdom, but here in the world, the prince of the world is the devil. And one day he will do away with it all, but for now we live in a world that is hostile towards us. Philippians 3:20 puts it well. It says, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Today, as a Christian, if you are in Christ, know that you do not belong here. All of this around us will be done away with the world. We are foreigners in a strange land. Our kingdom is not part of this world. Our church is part of the AFLC, the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations. And one of our founding principles is this. It says, according to the word of God, the congregation is the right form of the kingdom of God on earth. Jesus has established his kingdom in heaven, and the congregation here, the body of Christ, we are his representatives. It is Christ's kingdom here when we gather together. And I encourage you to see life this way. I encourage you to embrace this picture that Jesus is giving us, that we are foreigners in a strange land, to be in this world, but not of it. It's tempting, though, to try and fit in out there, isn't it? There is truth, though, to the fact that you can either fit in out there or you can fit in here. And when you fit in here, when you're aligned with God's truth and you obey God's laws, you become an alien out there. And if you fit in out here, you are somewhat of an alien in here. And I pray this morning that we would acknowledge that and be content to be an alien out there, but to be very much at home in here amongst fellow believers. I pray that this is where you feel at home, and it's out there in the world where you feel a little out of place. Jesus knew the dangers of this world. He knew that out there the devil prowls like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And so he prayed that his disciples would be protected. Let us not fall into the devil's jaws. Jesus's final petition this morning for us is that we may be sanctified in the truth. Let me read again verses 17 through 19. It says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sake I consecrate myself, that they may also be sanctified in the truth." To sanctify, Jesus' prayer here, is to make holy, to set apart. It's consistent with what he's been teaching us of being in the world but not of it. To be sanctified is to be markedly different, set apart for God's purpose. God desires that we be set apart for his special calling, that we become more and more like him, aligned to his will and his purpose. And then he says that this sanctification comes through the truth, and this truth comes through God's word. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Christ's concern for his disciples is that they continually grow in their knowledge of him. That through the truth, through God's word, that they would be molded and shaped into the people that God wants them to be. And this morning, as we sit and hear his word, we trust that is what's happening to us. That God's word is working through Sunday school classes, through the scripture and the hymns, and through the sermon, that God is molding our hearts and shaping us to be more like him. You see, God's desire isn't just for the disciples to be preserved, not just to be protected, but Jesus wants us to grow, to know him better, to know him more. In Ephesians 4, God declares his will for the church. He says that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's God's desire, that we not maintain our life as spiritual babies, as little children, but he wants us to grow into the fullness of Christ. That's Jesus praying that his disciples be sanctified, that we would grow up into him and know him better. We heard this morning before songs, Jesus declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." As we know Christ, we know the truth, and as we know the truth, we know him. You may be familiar with the verse that says that we are ambassadors for Christ. Well, I love the imagery in those verses, and let me run with them for a second. I think they help us see this whole passage come together. Jesus has established now that we're not of this world, but we are still in it. He's acknowledged that the devil is out there. He's the prince of this world, and we know that he's the father of lies. We know that the congregation is the kingdom of God on earth, that God dwells here with his bride. I would argue then that the church is like an embassy. It's this place that belongs to another kingdom that is set in a foreign land, and then we are sent out from this embassy as ambassadors. The church that heralds the truth of God is a pillar, an island of truth amongst a sea of lies in the world. With this image in mind then, Christ's prayer for us is essentially this, that we would be protected, that we would stay in his name, that we would maintain our citizenship in heaven. He prays that we would live and breathe and operate, that his kingdom would be our home base, that when we go out, that we may not be tempted by the lies of the devil, that we would be protected from him pulling us away, that from in this embassy, this beacon of truth, that we would be protected while we are here, and that we would grow, that we would be sanctified in the truth, built up and strengthened together. We are fed here, we are nourished here, and we are strengthened and trained in the truth. But we don't stay in the embassy forever. If the embassy was an island unto itself, it would have no purpose. Jesus says here at the end of our text, "As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." And so there we go, throughout our weeks, we are sent into the world, into our workplaces, into the stores, into schools, to our neighbors. We are sent to be these ambassadors. This was Jesus' prayer for you and for me. He wasn't quite dropping his children off at school, but he knew that he was leaving them. His prayer was that they would be preserved in his name, that they would be protected from the evil one, and that they would be sanctified in the truth. My prayer for us this morning is that this would also be our desire. That when you read this prayer of Jesus to be protected, to be kept, and to be sanctified, that your heart would say, "Yes, Lord, please, this is what I need, this is what I want. Keep me in your hand, Lord. Protect me from the evil one, and grow me, sanctify me in your truth." What's neat is that Jesus is still praying this prayer. He didn't ascend into heaven and then send his Holy Spirit and sit back and relax. The Bible says that he is still praying for us. It's encouraging, isn't it, when someone says they're praying for you? Well, hear this. In Hebrews 7:25, it says that Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. And again in Romans 8, it says, "Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us." Jesus is still looking out for you today. He still desires that you be kept in his name, that you be protected from the evil one, and that you grow in his truth. May this be our prayer as well. Let us pray. Jesus, we thank you for your goodness to us, and that you didn't merely save us and then leave us be, that you saved us unto a purpose, that you save us and you protect us and you keep us and you sanctify us. I think especially of Julia this morning, who has been baptized into your name, Lord. We pray that you would keep her and preserve her and sanctify her. And I pray that, Lord, for all of us. Protect us from the lies of the evil one. Help us to be ambassadors for Christ as we go out into the world. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your care for us. We thank you for you interceding on our behalf at all times. We love you and thank you for this good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us close with hymn number 260, "Lord, Keep Us Steadfast in Thy Word." Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this wonderful day. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning. And Lord, we thank you for your preserving power in our life. Lord, we praise you specifically this morning for baby Ephraim and the surgery that was successful. We ask that you would continue to preserve him and bless him. Thank you for Bob joining us today and the healing that you have brought about in his life. We pray for any unspoken needs this morning, Lord, for the things that are heavy upon our hearts. We trust those things to you, Lord. We set them in your hands and pray that your will be done. Pray for those who are shut in and unable to be here, that you would be with them in an extra special way today, that they would know your presence is with them. And now, Lord, we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise and receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.